Have you guys ever had like a really bad rash or a burn that just itched and stung or stung? You got Aiden, have you? Yeah. Will? Have you ever had a really bad itch or anything or rash? Anything on your arms? No? Sometimes it itches and it burns and it stings and you just want to do it. Well, the story today is a little bit about like that, and I want you to kind of imagine. One time Jesus was walking along and there were 10 lepers. Does anybody know what a leper, have you ever heard that word lepers before? A long time ago, people that had leprosy, they had really bad skin disease, and they were cast away. They couldn't stay by people because it was contagious and their skin burned and it itched. And it hurt really bad, and they were by themselves. They couldn't be with everybody else. Well, these 10 men, they went to Jesus, and they said, can you heal us? Please, can you heal us? And Jesus said, well, I want you to go, and I want you to go to the priest and show yourself to them. A priest is like a pastor, and that's what you used to have to do. So as they were going, guess what happened? They were healed before they got to the priest. And it was amazing. And so they were so grateful and thankful. But after that, guess what happened? Only one person went back to thank Jesus for healing them. Only one of the 10 people. Yes, Will?
I think the other 9 people are going to get it back.
You think the other 9? I don't think they don't get it back. But only one of them out of the 10 went back to Jesus and said thank you. So, has anybody ever, you done something for anybody before and not said, and they didn't say thank you, maybe? Or, so I want you to think about it, when someone does something for you, to say thank you, because those two words are so important. And God is like that. He gives us so many blessings, and we're so thankful for him. We want to be like the one leper that was grateful, not the other 9, right? Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day, and thank you for our church family. Thank you for letting us together and celebrate you, and thank you for all the blessings you give in our lives. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Darlene. No. About discovering God's will for our life, and what does that look like? How do we discern? How do we discover what it is that God wants us to do? Have you ever been to a point where you're trying to make a decision and you want to make the best decision you can, and there's several options, and you're wrestling with which one is the right one for me? And that's what we've been talking about. How can I sort out the path God wants me to walk? Is there only one? Or are there many paths? And he blesses me as I follow him. And I decided, and told you. we decided.
We are one body.
We decided that the first key to discovering what God wants for me is to be in relationship with him. That's the first key. I need to spend time getting to know him, so I will know what he wants, just like I do in every other relationship in my life. I have friends from high school. Do you have them too? And I see them. I have one. She lives in Spokane. I see her probably once every other year. And that's like we've never been apart. But if you were to ask me what Sue would like, what her favorite places to go out are, or what she likes to do in her spare time, I might be reaching, because we are occasional friends. And that's acceptable. We have friends that are occasional friends and close friends. But if I want to get to know what makes Sue happy, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to spend some time with her. I'm going to have to invest in a relationship. And we talked last week about developing habits that draw us close to Jesus. And then we hate that word habit sometimes, don't we? Becomes that, you know, great, you're going to give me a checklist. These are the things that make me holy, you know, mark the box. Completed those. And then if I complete all those things, then I'm going to hear that magic voice from heaven. It will be like Christmas Vacation, where, you know, he finds the Christmas tree and the light comes down from heaven and angels sing, and then I'll know that's the right thing to do. But in truth, that's not how it works, is it? It's the long road of getting to know someone getting to know what they like and don't like, what brings them joy. And those are things that we do. Habits aren't a bad word. They are if you're me. I tend to be spontaneous rather than consistent. You may have noticed that. And habits are challenging. But we all have habits that we do. And there are habits that we love to do because they build relationship. Maybe it's for you and a friend. You get together for coffee once a week at the same time. Maybe it's you and your spouse have a favorite restaurant that you like to go to. It's a habit. Linda's was our habit, and it's gone. We've got to make a new habit. We have things that we love to do. Jen Armstrong and I love to do road trips. Sometimes they're short. Sometimes they started out short and ended up being very long. But those are things that we love to do together, and we try to make it a habit to do those things. So when I use the word habit, I mean this. Intentional things I do that grow my relationships. Can we use it that way for today? Intentional things I do, whether it's getting together for coffee, walking, talking, hiking, whatever it is that lights the fires of that relationship, of that friendship, those are the habits that we're going to talk about. We then went on to talk about how God makes each of us different and unique, right? Some of us relate to God in one way we've discovered, and some of us relate to God in another way, and we call them pathways. We're going to call them pathways. Think ways that we walk, the way God wired us, that can draw us to God. We talked about the first one last week was mind, the relational pathway. And we said these are people who thrive on interactions with other Christians, other people. I am more alive when I'm here. I feel so connected to God when we're talking together. Man, I'm in there. Woo, you've lit my fire. Being alone too long for me, too much solitude, and I tend to wither on the vine because that's not how God made me. God made me very relational. The intellectual pathway was another one that we talked about. We talked about these are the people whose hearts come fully alive when their mind is fully engaged. The people who have their Bible open and then a couple of textbooks to go with it, right? Maybe a map. They want to learn more. And when they are learning, gathering information, gathering resources, it lights their fire in that relationship with God. Emotions or feelings are good, but they want to be bolstered by good, sound theological data. Then we talked about the creation pathway. That's the last one we covered last week. And these are the people who grow best and relate to God most closely when they're surrounded by nature. And I would imagine we have quite a few of those here at this church. But this is when your awareness, whatever pathway it is you walk, it's when your awareness of God, your desire to engage with God, picks up the pace. For people who are creation pathway people, making time on a regular basis to be in an environment where they get to enjoy creation, that's important. For me, making sure that I have intentionally scheduled times to be relational is important. If you're intellectual, taking the time to dig into resources is important because these are the things that can light your fire. And you say, that's great, but none of those really are me. Well, good, I have more. So let's move on. And the source I'm using is, there's two. Courageous Leadership is a book by Bill Hybels where he goes into this a little bit. And if you really want to go deep, it's a book called Sacred Pathways. And Gary Thomas, I believe, is the name of the author. I'd have to look one more time to be sure. The next pathway we're going to talk about is the serving pathway. And this describes people who find their, he calls it their spiritual stride, their closeness to God when they're serving God and others. These are the action people, the doers. Ask them when they feel most connected, and they will not say when they're praying, when they're singing, when they're studying, although they'll enjoy those things. They feel most joyful and come alive the most when they are serving. When they feel they're accomplishing the ministry of God. Have you met those people? The setting can be religious or non-religious. James 1:27 kind of describes them. It says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. What is pure religion to someone who is wired to be a server? When their hands are busy. When they're doing a project. whether with people or without people, either way, they love to serve. Have you met them? I have. Are you thankful for them? I am. Growing in their relationship with God means leaning into that serving pathway, enjoying how God wired them, and maintaining balance in the rest of their lives. Because sometimes as servants, we want something done, ask a busy person, right? Because they'll get it done. And so servants, while being busy is important, maintaining balance is also important. And the Bible example I want to talk to you from today is Acts 9. Her name was Tabitha or Dorcas, depending on whether you say it in Greek or you say it in Aramaic. Dorcas was her name. And in Acts 9, verse 36, it goes like this. Luke writes this. There was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. About this time, she became ill and died. Her body was washed for burial and laid in an upstairs room. But the believers had heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda, so they sent two men to beg him, please come as soon as possible. Wow, these are some people with some faith, are they not? What do they think Peter's going to do? So Peter returned with them, and as soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing Peter the coats and other clothes Dorcas had made for them. Peter asked them all to leave the room. Then he knelt and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, get up, Tabitha. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called in the widows and all the believers, and he presented her to them alive. Wow. Yeah, kind of like you thought, doesn't it? Why did they love her? She was a servant. Serving others, that was how she was wired. Not everybody is, but Dorcas certainly was. The other pathway, another pathway we're going to talk about is the contemplative pathway. And in some ways, it might be considered the opposite of the serving pathway. They're the people that often we describe as marching to the beat of a different drummer. Have you heard that saying before? Well, they just kind of march to their own beat. These are people who, while others are filling their calendars with appointments and things to do, are carefully guarding their schedule. They need solitude. They welcome quiet time. They seek to avoid the busyness around them. And unlike me, they can spend unlimited amounts of time in solitude because their inner world is rich and reflective. Often they're the ones who write poetry, who write music, because they can sit and consider for a long time. A Bible, a journal, a big book, put them over there, they're good. They're happy. Often, if you're contemplative, you can feel kind of out of step with all the other Christians. Because while the sign-up sheet goes around and everybody else is signing up, you're resistant. And it isn't because you don't think it's a good idea or because you don't want to serve. It's because it would infringe on something that's really important to you that you guard carefully. And those of us who like to be busy can look at contemplatives and go, get with the program, you know, hut hut. We have things for you to do. And it's important when we learn these gifts to respect how God has wired different people. Because contemplatives are going to consider a lot of things. They're going to come up with ideas that the busy people like me don't have time to come up with because they're busy. And if you will let them, contemplatives have a lot to offer when they've thought it through and processed it. And if that's how God has wired you, don't apologize for it. Dig in. Because the goal is, and I need a drink, I'm sorry. The goal is that we're leaning into how God wired us and appreciating how God wired others. I think maybe a Bible example of this might have been Moses. Moses was busy. He was raised in the palace of Egypt. And then he saw his people suffering. He killed an Egyptian overlord who was beating somebody to death to protect that man, and then had to flee for his life. Moses spent the next 40 years being a shepherd in the desert. Not about you, but I can think of a few worse jobs to do than to leave me alone with a bunch of animals and make me wander around outside. For some people, that lights their fire. That's where they start to process. I process, you probably notice this by talking. Other people process by having time and space to think. Moses had a lot of time to be contemplative. God called him up to the mountain. We're going to do the Ten Commandments. Moses was gone long enough that the people thought he died up there. They'd moved on to worshiping an idol. It was a lot of time to just be up there. I'd be like, okay, this is good talking. Let's go do something. Contemplatives take time. Let's do two more that seem kind of opposite. You're like, well, kind of describing me, but maybe not. Two more. There's an activist pathway. Are you ready? The activists are people who thrive on a highly challenging environment. White-knuckled, fast-paced, on the edge of the cliff. And others worry about them. They're kind of out there. I hope that goes okay. You ever said that? Ooh, that's a big project. Hope that turns out all right. And for the activists, they are never more alive when they are this close to it all falling apart. They love being out on that limb of faith. They fall into bed knowing they gave God every last drop they had for the day. That's the activist. And that's how they're wired. And again, we always want to work to be balanced. Balance is so important. But that's just how they're wired. And if you put an activist out in a pasture with a bunch of sheep, they will die on the vine. They will die. How God wired us is something to know. And then to use that pathway to engage with him. If you leave me by myself for very long, I'm just not very mentally active. That's not how I'm wired. But if I engage with God, if I get busy with him and other people, then that relationship with God starts to thrive. I think maybe an example of the activist pathway might be Peter. Peter certainly was willing to be out there on the edge. He was the one who would answer all the questions while all the other disciples kind of shuffled their feet and looked at the floor and did this, like, I'm not answering that one. Peter with his hand up, he was the first one, piping off whatever came into his head. Let's do it! I'll tell you what we'll do! And everybody else is like, settle down. If you're an activist and that's how you've been wired, then lean into it. Maybe the opposite of that again. We're kind of doing both sides. Another pathway that he talks about is called the worship pathway. These are Christians who are fully alive and deeply connected to God when they're worshiping, whether in song or whether in prayer or whether out in nature. Worshiping lights their fire. Give them a CD with Christian music or your iPhone with Christian music on it. And time to listen and to sing and to praise. And they come alive. Other people go, oh, that's nice. That was fun. Now what? The worship pathway, this really connects them to God. And they'll feel full of the Spirit. Doesn't matter if they're in the car, on the back of a horse, if they are in church. When they are worshiping, it all comes together. And there's a connection that they feel that just fills them up. So if you're a worship, if that's your pathway, if that's what draws you to God, what we're talking about with each one of these is make time and space and be intentional in engaging with God in that way. Because that's how you're wired. I used to hear that verse where it was, it was in Peter, of how the women are supposed to be, you know, a quiet and reverent woman is, you know, the holy one. And I was like, oh, rats. I'm not overly quiet, as you've noticed in reverence. Wow, that, you know, I can do it for a little while. what he was saying, he was using it in a different context, and someday maybe we'll talk about that. But how God made every one of us is different. Now, I want you to hear clearly that even though this may be the way you engage with God, it may not be your personality. Because I know extroverts who enjoy the worship path, and I know introverts who enjoy the worship path. I know people who like to talk a lot, that are very contemplative, and people who are silent, who like to be in a group. I'm not talking about your personality. I'm talking about what draws you into relationship with God. Find out what that is. Be intentional about finding out what that is for you. I talked with Chris last week, and I mentioned him, and I asked if I could use his name. And Chris had said to me, you know, I was on Amazon, and I found this fabulous map that explains all this stuff in the New Testament. I thought I might get it. I'm like, do it. Why? Because if you love those things, if it helps broaden what you're engaged with, then do it. Mary and I, a couple of times, have plans, and she'll be like, you know, I've got a chance to go riding today. I'm like, get on the horse. Because what lights Mary's fire is being in nature. And if you don't fill up intentionally with what fills you up, then you get lower and lower and lower, and you wonder why you're dry and why you're not connecting. Be intentional to discover what it is about you. How has God made you that helps you engage with God? Most of us are going to find that we connect with one of those in some way or another. And one of them usually will be your strongest one. There may be two or three that you enjoy, but one is really, boy, that is me. Did you nod sometimes? Yep, that's. Or maybe you can define somebody else better. Oh, that's so-and-so. We're much better at that, aren't we? Well, that describes them, not me. So back to the beginning. What's our goal with learning this information? Why are we taking time to talk about this, you ask? Because we want to be in a dynamic relationship with our Savior. And when I'm in a dynamic relationship with my Savior, then I hear his voice inside me. I can come to a point to make a decision, and I already know what he's thinking. God rarely is A or B. Let's be really clear about that. Unless it's right or wrong, God is not option A or option B. Quite often, there's C, D, E, F. What would light your fire? Your Father wants you to thrive, not be like everybody else. Sometimes, if we're not careful, when we observe other Christians, we start to decide, well, they look like they're really spiritual. I should do like they're doing. And occasionally, that's wise. Sometimes people are doing things that you can incorporate that can really help. But be careful. Because just because it works for them doesn't mean it will work for you. And this is no guilt. This is grace. This is growing. Thriving in our relationship with God means embracing how he made us, striding down the pathway that he's created for me, and it means appreciating the pathway that others are on around me. We are a body. That's how Christ described us. Paul writes, some of you are going to be eyes, some of you are going to be hands, some of you are going to be feet. And we need all of those here today. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
If everybody here is a servant, and nobody ever thinks about anything, we're going to be busy and not necessarily have a plan. If everybody around talks all the time, then there's nobody to listen. So we take turns talking and listening. If there are no activists who go out there and go, I think we can do that, and the rest of us go, okay, maybe. Without somebody to challenge us, we're never challenged. All of us come together and we make a complete body. We are all needed. And I need to learn to love and appreciate how God made you. And you can do the same, hopefully, with me. And we're going to grow together. Taking time to be refilled, refreshed, revitalized in my time with God then allows me to overflow that and to nourish those around me. It's hard to pour out on those around you when your tank is empty. And our goal is to pour into the lives of others. We're the body of Christ, all needed, all uniquely created and loved by God. And then I am finding ways to do exactly what Luke 10, our text, talks about. I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, and with all my strength. I'm going to love the Lord with all my heart. That might be more the relational people. I'm going to love the Lord with all my soul. Maybe that's the creation and worship side, and all my strength. Maybe that's the service and the activist kind, and all my mind, the people who enjoy the intelligence or the contemplative pathway. We're going to combine those, and together we're going to be the Centerville Community Church that draws people in because we care, each of us in our own different ways. Lord, thank you that you made everybody different. Sometimes I find that frustrating. Why can't they understand? But Lord, truly, the rich tapestry, the vibrant, beautiful people that you've created, we can come together and be one body for you. Will you give us the ability to love, grow close to you, close to each other, to appreciate how you've made each one of us? And Lord, may we be the church that's known for our love. That's how we'll know, people will know we're disciples, is by our love. Will you help us to love well? In your son's name we pray, amen. Amen. Would you be standing? My prayer is this week you'll find more of those things that light your fire as you engage with God. Go in the love of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.